First of all, when you were the president of the union, was that of the United Federal Workers, or was it after the merger in 46 when you became United Public Workers? Do you remember?
Both.
Both?
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you remember anything about that first merger?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. We were a small union, the National Federation of Federal Employees, and there were other independent municipal unions around. There was the state employees, and there were little city employees organizations. United Federal Workers, of course, represented the federal employees, and there was also generally a merger between the National Federal Workers nationally and the American Federation of State County Workers, Municipal Workers. Abe Flaxer was the head of it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that merger because many of the federal agencies were going out of business because of the cutbacks after the war. So agencies like the Price Administration and many, many other agencies were going out, and War Labor Board and so forth, were typical of those agencies. And that was in the 40s, mid-40s. So there was this merger that happened, and it was a merger of two, CIO or three or four CIO unions, all of whom were in the public sector. And it was a very happy, I mean, it was a good merger. It was a good merger, even though there was a big fight back east about who was going to be in the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Bernstein's father was involved in that. I can't remember his first name now. And in Los Angeles, it meant that from a small union of federal workers, we became a larger amalgamation of, I think, about 3,000 members we had.
Now, it wasn't exactly no strike clause, but it was like a no strike clause in the new Constitution.
New Constitution of what?
Of the once it merged and became the United Public Workers.
The federal employees couldn't strike. But I'm not aware that our early constitution the constitution of what?
Of the United Public Workers after that first merger in 46. And in fact, what interested me is...
Where did you find that?
There's a special publication about the new union. And in fact, it's not a straight no-strike clause, but it's similar to it. And
what does it say?
Locals, if a local has to get permission to go on strike and has to abide by what was obviously a policy of...
Well, that's something different. It's very usual in unions with national contracts and so forth, in the CIO, that when you went on strike, you requested authorization from your national union, because usually there had to be funds coming.
But it was more in the nature of really almost like a no-strike clause.
But it wasn't a no-strike clause. I don't remember it being interpreted as a no-strike clause at all. It was interpreted to mean that certain sections of the union, which was the federal employees, they had to be bound by what the federal law was with the state and county and city. We didn't have national contracts. We had very local. We didn't have any contracts. There was no collective bargaining. And usually, if you were in a strike situation, and there were thousands and thousands of strikes of public employees for a number of years, you usually needed the help with money and support from the national office, and you had to get the authorization and to be supported by other unions. The rule here in every community where there are unions, that you go before the central labor body as well to seek authorization, meaning that if it's an authorized strike, you'll get help in the fact that the locals will not go through your picket line and They'll help you pick it, et cetera. So that's
okay.
Not a nice...
It was not different from most other schools.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
I wondered how it must have sat.
No.
Then were you still at OPA when you became the rep, when you requested the 90-day trial period?
Yes.
That's where you were when
Yes.
You, okay. Now, there was apparently a dues checkoff by petition in 47. It required 300 signatures, and you ended up with 400, and the Board of Supervisors then authorized it. Do you remember
right.
the petition drive for that?
Oh,
the
yes.
First dues
yes.
Can you talk about
yes. Well, we did it in the city and in the county because we represented, at that time, city, county, Board of Education, and state workers as a combination union. And we found that the company union, which was the Employees Association that day, had the right to check off.
Oh.
And the precedent had already been set. So we, backed by the CIO council, which is a very powerful council, which had a lot of clout in those days, went before the Board of Supervisors and petitioned in the same way that years before the Employees Association had petitioned. And because the precedent was set, and there were a number of checkoffs for all kinds of insurance things and cemetery lots and pots and pans, and we came in with a straight union petition backed by the labor movement, the powerful CIO movement in this town, we were successful.
And did you have any trouble getting the 400 signatures? Did you have
No, we didn't have trouble. We found an organizing opportunity. And it made the work of the union more geared to servicing the membership and organizing and not spending all the time and collecting the damn dues.
Mm-hmm. But you say you then lost the checkoff?
Well, in 1950, when the militant progressive unions were evicted, excommunicated by the CIO, the Board of Supervisors passed a resolution, and we feel that it was that the impetus for this probably came from the CIO, not locally, God knows, because it was a very progressive CIO. But I don't know whether he was still there or not, but we still had the CIO council. I don't remember whether he was still there. I assume he must have been. But at any rate, that must have come from some of the international reps from some of the other unions. And there was a motion made by one of the members of the board to discontinue our affiliation because we were no longer AFL-CIO.
I see.
And because we had been thrown out.
So UPW was one of the expelled unions?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We were one of the expelled because the reason given was that we supported Henry Wallace, which we did, because the top leadership, they claimed, were too left and communist dominated, and they expelled the union.
Mm-hmm. So then once you were expelled, they could maintain you were not a bona fide
member. It wasn't the same union. Now, I must say this, that when the movement of expulsion came of the unions, many of the existing unions, other unions, were very anxious to have us affiliate with them because we had a very stable, growing, organizing, militant membership. Now, this is true nationally. And so we had an emergency National Executive Board meeting. I was not on the National Executive Board, but I was the leader in this of the union here. And what they did was they flew all of us in a charter plane to, I believe it was New York or Chicago. I don't remember where it was. Probably New York. And I attended that. And the proposal then was that we would merge with AFSCME. And that was one of the proposals. One of our top national officers, Bob Weinstein, was in favor of it. Condition was that the two top officers would not come over, but because of the fact that the AFSCME didn't want to be suffer the same thing we did, but that we would affiliate and merge all over the country. And the position that one of the leaders in New York took, Jack Deagle, who was, I believe, at that time head of a New York group, very, very strong leader, and he took the position that we should stay there. He and A. Flaxer took the same position, said they're going to stay there until the last member. And Bob Weinstein and some others took the position that it was selfish and that it should not come down to whether or not the two top offices or three offices would be would be taken over, and that it would be a wonderful opportunity for our union to play a role and not to be devastated, because it would be devastation. But he was overruled. They were overruled. And our union stood. And I believe the next month, Jack Beagle made a deal with the Teamsters in New York. Brought his whole union into the Teamsters. So much for principle. The rest of the union went their separate ways. And our local here in California, our locals, we went independent. We didn't join up with any union.
So you stayed independent then?
No, we stayed from 50 to 53.
Now,
we were being wooed by AFSCME and many of the other unions for affiliation, but we remained independent. During that period, we had no checkoff, which means that our dues, our income, took a terrible dive. During that time, the state employees went their way. They didn't. They didn't do that until after the 50s. But the state employees became inactive. And the local primarily was a local for the, and the school employees set up their own union and affiliated with building service. No, they didn't affiliate with building service, but they set up their own unions and joined other organizations. We remained independent. We were poor, but we were as militant as we ever were. We appeared before the Board of Supervisors. They gave us de facto recognition, but not checkoff. That meant that we could one month collect 600 dues, the next month 200 dues, the next month 1,000 dues, whatever. And they were all members of the union, because there were only two of us left on the staff, a black guy by the name of Sidney Moore, who handled the city workers, I handled the county workers.
So the two of you, that was for the total of local 246 then?
Local 246, yeah.
So you were the only two staff?
Right, we were
and
the only two staff.
Was Charlton the general manager at that point?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes. No, Charlton wasn't on that staff. That was Sidney Moore. He came after the affiliation. We had a general manager, but he left.
During this period then, did you informally maintain a liaison with the CIO Central Council, because you had earlier been elected to the executive committee?
This local CIO Council did not throw us out. We were still affiliated.
You were still affiliated.
Oh, absolutely. And we marched on Labor Day with them, and we were the same people that we were before.
So you were there.
Oh, yes. And we had our offices
locally
there.
Oh, okay.
In the CIO building.
Now things begin. I could not figure out how you went from a CIO union into an AFL union.
We didn't. We were a CIO union who remained independent.
Then in the merger.
And then in the merger, during the merger, that was an AFL union that we affiliated with. This AFL union local that we affiliated with was raiding us, trying to raid us at the county hospital, and we beat their ears back. And if you interview George Hardy, which you should do on this case, before he gets too old and senile and so forth, which he isn't too old or senile now, that's not what I'm saying, but I mean, you should really talk to him. He remembers that he sent a whole group of his organizers to the general hospital because he knew that we were no longer accepted, and we lost our checkoff, to organize, to raid us. He had a huge staff, and they came in and they attended our meetings, and they tried to put leaflets on the bulletin board, and they were ripped off by our stewards, and we were as active as ever. We didn't have any money, but we acted as though we had our total membership, and we spoke for all the people that we had before, only they weren't paying their dues, and technically they were, you know, we should have told them they weren't in good standing, but we never made a determination as to who was in good standing or not because of the nature of the physical going out over 100 miles to collect the $2 or something. They were still paying 50 cents to the Boys Association, about $2 to us. And as far as the laundry workers were concerned, or the kitchen workers or the custodians or the county nursing staff, the below the RN, they didn't see that that was that much difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, except that because they only had me as their representative. I represented not at Olive View. We didn't have Olive View. I had Harbor, a hospital, Long Beach Hospital, Rancho Los Amigos, General Hospital. Five, I guess it was about five hospitals.
So you, at that point,
I was their only representative.
And the other rep was doing city.
City.
That's
and that was the larger part of the union, uh-huh. The city. That was the former hub of the union.
So as a result then of the rating, that you saw ultimately in your interest.
That's what should have logically happened, but it didn't work out that way. What happened was that we were having lunchtime demonstrations at the hospital. We were coming down to the board supervisors. We were winning grievances. We were winning rule changes. We were in the public eye, and we were organizing. And the other unions in the public worker field were doing very, very little, practically nothing. So that we were the prime union, even though our membership had taken a terrible dive. Now, what happened was that AFSCME made us a proposal that we affiliate with them. And we had meetings that took I and the executive board, well, not the whole executive board, but the board of trustees of the union and the officers, came with me. I would say it was about 99% black. And we met with the AFSCME. They were a little instead of shocked when they saw us because they were not aware of the heavy black presence in our union. Secondly, they were very direct in offering us the opportunity to become the leaders of AFSCME. To get rid, they said they would get rid. When we asked them what happened to the present leaders of their council, and asked me, the structure is that it's an old CIO structure. It's a structure where the money and the power is in the national office, and the structure was that they set up councils, and they're very small locals. You have a local of 25 people or 15 people, and so forth, and these locals depended on this council. For servicing, for representation. And then it was the determination of the council as to how much they were going to give to them. Also, the locals had to pay high per capita to the councils and to their national unions, so that the bulk of the money that they had did not remain in the locals. It went to the council and it went to the national unions. On the other hand, they told us about what their structure was. And in the CIO councils that we came from, the per capita was very low, and we serviced locals by locals and not by councils of our old union, and it didn't work in quite the same way. But AFSCME said, in answer to our question, why we'll get rid of our leadership, they're not very good anyhow, you're the only ones who are organizing. And they told us that we too, Sidney Moore and myself, we could become the heads of the council, and our whole executive board would become the council, and so forth. We didn't say anything, but we looked at each other, and we got out, and we realized if they are so cavalier about the people who have built whatever structure they have, next Thursday they might meet somebody else, and they do the same thing to us. And we felt the whole thing was immoral, really, and very unattractive. And we'd lose all of our power of self-representation. Also, the characteristics of that local at that time, they were mainly probation workers, was the fellow that was the head of it was a policeman.
Oh, so they were much more white-collar.
They were primarily white-collar Anglo. Mm-hmm. And they represented some court people, very nice people. Mm-hmm. And the officer was the person whose head of it was a former policeman, and he offered us everything because he was instructed to by his superiors. I felt absolutely no confidence in him whatsoever, and the executive board were appalled by how he treated his executive board and his board of trustees and his staff. So we decided against that, and then I got a call from somebody to see George Hardy and to affiliate with the building service, because up north, that's what our locals did up there.
Oh.
They affiliated with.
Oh,
they had already affiliated. I balked at that. I didn't even want to meet with them because I was so angry at their attempts, unsuccessful attempts to raid us at the hospital. And I knew, however, that they were a well integrated union, and that was a plus as far as they were concerned, in my eyes and the eyes of the officers of our union. But the thing I really had prejudice against, the fact that they were primarily a janitor's union, and which they were. They represented the custodians, primarily a custodians union, and here I was trying to organize licensed vocational nurses and nursing personnel, and as well as custodians and kitchen workers and lab techs and so forth. I was less than enthusiastic because I was mad at them. However, good sense prevailed, and we decided that we would meet with them, and we did. And we met with George Hardy, and he showed us the leaflet that he had collected that we had given out at the hospitals. And he told us that he thought that the only people who were successful in knowing how to organize was our union, the CIO, and the left. And that we should not change, if we decided to affiliate, that he would urge us not to change any of our tactics in order to tailor them to what we thought primarily an AFL union would stand for. And he told us he would equate whatever assets we had with an existing local that they had of the Olive View County Hospital workers. He had Olive View. That's what he had. They raided